Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Pinterest Podcast. My name
is... There you go. Hi, everyone. Chris is here, too. Jason got a new microphone, and his ears are super sensitive. This is the Paid Search Podcast. Go!
Thank you for that. Chris, it's a Monday. It's not a Thursday. Everyone knows the show came out a little bit late at this point. Why don't you just explain the situation, what happened?
Oh, gosh. Well, first it was Jason's fault because he screwed up something with his mic. And then it was my fault because I had a flat tire on my trailer. And so we're here. And this time, Jason, literally our last show. Jason, what was our last show? Like almost an hour, I think. Last time it was pushing.
The one we recorded, yeah, with bad audio.
The one we had to throw away with bad audio was almost an hour. So this time we're talking faster. We're making it more brief because last time was literally our longest show. So we got to go quick this time.
And Chris, you know, you were kind enough to take a little bit of the blame. But honestly, it was my audio and Chris stepped up, giving me and all you guys some of his Monday. And so that just shows how dedicated he is to this show and our audience. And to thank him, I want everybody to go to RothmanPPC.com/blog. I've got some interesting content there about Google AdWords. I've got some new articles out, and I think you guys would like them.
I love it when people go to RothmanShafer.com or whatever that site is. But yeah, please continue.
Yep. Well, Chris, as always, now I want to thank our sponsor, Directive Consulting. They're the go-to search engine marketing agency for SEO PPC content for B2B companies and enterprise advertisers. So we thank them for sponsoring the show, and you guys should check out their site, free custom proposals, directiveconsulting.com. So Chris, we are doing a deep dive today on home and auto insurance for one of our listeners, and it'll be useful for everybody that's interested in that space. But before that, last time we were together, Chris, we threw a little bit of a temper tantrum about AdSenseForMobileApps.com. Placement exclusion. Google's getting rid of that. It's no longer going to be valid as a placement exclusion. We were a little bit worried about that because we want to control whether or not our traffic shows up on mobile apps. And we did not know that there was a workaround. So we are asking for one. But one of our listeners, Aaron from softwarepromotions.com, he wrote in and gave us a tip. And basically, it's already in the new interface. You just go to settings. And then there's a drop-down, additional settings. And then in the device area, you can control whether your traffic shows up on mobile websites or mobile apps. And that's what we need. We need to be able to differentiate the two. So there's already workaround. And Aaron from softwarepromotions.com, we appreciate you writing into the show. And Chris, that's kind of a cool thing about the Paid Search Podcast. We know a lot, but we don't know everything by a long shot. And it's cool that listeners can write in and help us out and help out the whole kind of collective here of our audience.
Yeah, we have a smart audience, and I appreciate you guys giving feedback when we ask for it, even when we don't even know to ask for it. Actually, we were just griping and we didn't even know there was a solution. But speaking of smart listeners, Molly won our random number generation contest because she shared something very close to our hearts. Jason, we wanted the old keyword research button, the big red keyword button. We wanted that on the new interface, and we made a special call to Google on a special video we did. We asked in old episodes, we asked you guys to share that. We also asked for interactive map.
And we got both.
And you're speaking in faith, I assume, because...
Pending.
That is not true yet. We're still hoping. I assume they just haven't downloaded the episode and listened to it yet. I'm sure they're going to get on that right away. But we wanted to get the message out there because we believe so much in these tools. They're very valuable, and I know people out there believe the same thing. So we asked you guys to give the post a little bit more of a bump, and Molly was chosen from a hat of the many people that shared and sent the show out there. So Molly's request was for a special build discussion for a independent insurance agency. So that's what we're going to do. Today we're going to talk about and do a deep dive, what we call a deep dive, in a specific industry for a independent insurance agency. But first, Jason, I think you have something very important to share before we jump into the deep dive.
That's right, Chris. I am very much looking forward to that. But first, I just want to take 1 minute here and talk about today's sponsor, Directive Consulting, directiveconsulting.com. They are the go-to search engine marketing agency for B2B and enterprise. Today, I want to tell you about some work they did for a company called Delphix. Delphix is a big data platform. And Chris, to me, that just screams complex B2B lead generation. Mm-hmm. And Delphix had a Google Ads agency that they were working with, but they knew it wasn't working out as good as it could be. They didn't like the quality of the B2B leads they were trying to get. So they did a wide search. They got a lot of proposals because they needed very technical B2B leads. They wanted to make sure they worked with and found an agency that got it. And lucky for them, they did find Directive, and Directive took over their Google Ads campaigns. And within 1 week, just 1 week, the lead volume doubled and the cost per lead went down by 60%. Now, I know those sound like big numbers, but Chris and I have seen when real B2B experts take over a campaign and clean up the traffic and get in front of the right people very quickly, you can get drastic results in the positive. So Directive did this for Delphix, and I think Directive can do this for you too. So head over to directiveconsulting.com, and they offer free custom proposals. So you got nothing to lose. Head over to directiveconsulting.com, get your free custom proposal, and see what they have to say. So we appreciate them sponsoring today's episode, where we are taking off all our clothes, jumping in the hot tub, and doing a deep dive.
Wow.
Together.
Wow. Okay.
With Molly.
Well, oh, Molly's invited. Okay. Well, Jason, I think we are especially prepared for this episode because we've done a test run. So we already know. We spoiled. One thing I really regret is that people can't hear the huge blooper that we did a couple days ago on our episode where I guessed what your bids were going to be for starting out on something like this. But we'll talk about that soon. Just a hint. I think we'll share
Hard to recreate the magic, isn't it, Chris?
I think that's the first time I've laughed at one of your jokes that wasn't I wasn't the butt of, that was nice.
Okay, so I'm glad you got that out of your
Jason's tame.
There,
Jason's so. Tame on Monday. When we record on Monday, Jason's tired already, and he's got a new mic, and Jason, I can tell.
It's not so much Monday, it's more the new mic. This thing is
It's hot.
Sensitive. It's like I feel the consequence of the words that I'm saying. I feel the reach of this podcast a little bit more.
You feel yourself being on air. You feel the people listening to your voice, and suddenly now it's real, and you don't feel quite. Oh, well, I want the old mic back because
I'm still in it here, Chris. So we're talking about a very sexy thing: insurance. I love insurance, Chris. Insurance makes me very happy.
Everybody needs it.
Everybody loves insurance. So, Chris, we have an agency, independent agency, outside of Minneapolis in a bigger suburb, but not a super, super small suburb. So it's not the heart of downtown Minneapolis, but it's not rural. It's just a normal, everyday suburb. And that's the kind of insurance agent that we're going to be advertising for. So, Chris, just to start it off the top here, I think where you and I always start when we work with a new advertisers, what kind of campaigns are we going to be running for this insurance agent? So if I came to you, if I said I did home and auto insurance and I wanted people in my area who wanted an insurance agent to work with for home and auto, where would you get started with me? How would the conversation start?
Okay, so first my suggestion is I'm going to go with a search campaign, as you know, as you would expect, and then a remarketing campaign, display remarketing campaign. And depending on how much budget I have in the search campaign is going to determine, you know, how aggressive and how far my reach is going to be on that search. So just saying search doesn't really answer the question. It's more about how many keywords. You know, am I going to go with the word insurance? Am I going to go against competitors? Am I going to go with just car insurance? Or am I going to dissect it down to, you know, something that's going to be a little less heavy on the search and the spend? So definitely search, but I think, you know, there's levels to that we'll have to get into and the decisions that we make on how aggressive and how wide those campaigns or that search campaign would go.
Okay, so search, remarketing, and if this was your client and they wanted to spend somewhere between $1,000 and $3,000 a month, maybe up to $5,000, you're not getting crazy with display and call only right off the bat.
No, not unless.
Okay.
It's a good question. Jason, if I'm talking to the client and they say, you know, it's really important, we're a new company, we really want brand, we really want this, you know, our faces out there. If I hear a lot of that and that's really important to them, then I might go after display and I might put a 15% of the budget into display. Just merely, you know, I'm going to avoid mobile apps. I'm going to go straight for some middle America type of sites, you know, like focused on business and shopping and stuff like that. You know, I'm going to try and keep out of the junk areas and I'm going to go with better quality. But yeah, if that's something important, then maybe I push 10, 15% of the spend towards that, but not much. The bulk of my spend is going to be in search and then maybe another 10% in remarketing.
Okay, great. That's usually where I start out as well. Now, once we determine what type of campaigns we want, search and remarketing, the next thing you kind of got to dig into are the settings. So we'll save bids for keywords because the kind of bids you have depend on the kind of keywords you have. But in terms of schedule and location, are you going 24/7 right off the bat? Are you going the Minneapolis-St. Paul DMA region right off the bat? How are you locking down your schedule and your location for this insurance agent who has $1,000 to $5,000?
For me, because this is the kind of thing that gets so much search, there's so much volume and there's so many competitors, I'm probably going to start off with 24/7, but I'm going to hedge my bets a little bit. And because we don't know what the site looks like, I'm going to assume that's because the site is equally focused on phone calls as it is on web forms. If you have a site that is entirely phone calls or 75%, and there's like some little, hey, send us a quick email kind of thing. Then
in the footer.
Yeah. You know, it's like some little afterthought, little form. Then I would really restrict it to waking hours or specifically business hours when someone is going to be answering the phone and they can act immediately on that lead. So I'm going to assume that they're a lot like a lot of other insurance sites, and you can fill out a quote right on the site and get the process started at 3 a.m. Then they'll follow up with you as soon as someone gets into the office. So I think that's what I would do. Does that feel about right to you?
Feels great. But what I'm kind of going in the same direction, because as I'm thinking about insurance and how I found my own insurance agent, it's not like something like a plumber or an HVAC where maybe there's like an emergency and I need to get my toilet fixed today, or I just have to get that heating system scheduled for this week. It's on my to-do to find someone. I need to get the time set for this week right now. Insurance feels a little bit of a slower step back process. So I want to see who the insurance agents are in my town. I want to make a list. I want to read through their websites. And then if I don't get a hold of them today, I don't get a hold of them. If I call them tomorrow, that's great. But I just plan to talk to them at some point this week and ask them some questions before I actually become a client. So yeah. With all that said, Chris, I think that's why it kind of makes sense to just start out 24/7, especially if there's a decent lead form, because even if there's not, like, I can definitely see this being one of those businesses where people go to the site, write down the phone number at 10 o'clock at night, and call them the next day.
Yeah.
So I'm also up for 24/7.
Yeah, I mean, you hit it on the head. You know, the last time we had talked about this, you talked about, you know, when someone's moving. And when moving is happening, when you need to get home insurance on a new home that you're getting, this is the kind of thing that's like, this is a part of your checklist. And this is not necessarily the kind of thing you do at 10 o'clock in the morning. This is the kind of thing that's like, oh, shoot, I haven't done that. I need to get, you know, a couple quotes for insurance for the new house that I'm buying. So this could easily be
and that's it, 10 o'clock at night kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's a great point. A couple quotes.
Yeah. So grabbing that late night stuff, as long as you have a form on your site, I think you're right. I mean, I think that's going to be a cheaper, more reliable way to just get your name out there. Maybe the cost won't be $20 at 2 a.m, but it would be equally important to get that form filled out at 2 a.m. as it would be at 2 p.m.
And the other thing you have going for you is most of the spend will come in, most of the volume will come in during the daytime hours. But you can at least get a little bit of activity overnight, evening hours, early morning, and weekends, and just see how that goes and how your conversion rates are and just how you feel the campaign's going. So starting out 24/7 is a good start. Chris, in terms of location, we can't really say, like, do this or do that because we'd have to ask the client. But what I'm curious is how do you figure out that information if you are asking the client? So usually what I like to do is I just like to leave it open. Like, what areas do you like to advertise in? Where do most of your customers live? What kind of radius could we do? Like, could you see customers coming from 5 miles away? Most of the time is yes, because that's not that big. 10 miles away, yes. 20, 25 miles, maybe that's pushing it for insurance. But usually I'm just trying to get a feel from the client on what they think. And then I usually just translate that into a radius in a situation like this, where I know for sure it's not going to be the whole huge metro area. It's going to be a little bit tighter. So what are you thinking in terms of location?
Yeah, you're right. When you ask a lot of questions, this is very much an organic type of thing, because what I usually like to say is I use a specific language when I ask this question. I like to say, what's important to you? Like, what is, you know, where are your clients coming from? What cities are valuable to you? What's important? So they usually catch on with what I'm trying to say. And they usually say, well, this city has some good high-end homes. I'd love to get in this zip code. Or, you know, this area over here is a good area. And they'll even, because I say the word important, they'll often say, this area is not important. They'll actually go on the other side and realize, I need to differentiate what's important and what's not important. I need to define that this area is good, but this other east side is not something I'm interested in. Typically lower end homes, you know, lower end income, stuff like that. And I just don't want to spend the money to advertise. They'll take the clients, but they don't want to advertise there. And that's a good distinction to make. It's not that you don't want the business. It's just you need to make a distinction about what's worth spending the money on and what's worth just letting happen organically. I think that's a good point. This is very much a conversation with the person that's going to be answering the phone, the person that's going to be running these kind of quotes. You know, they need to be able to answer this question.
Yeah, and I think the final thing in terms of settings would be to look at audience, and we can break that down a few different ways. So the first thing I would think about is age. Yes, 18 to 24-year-olds drive cars, and they need car insurance, but this is home and auto. So one thing I know about insurance companies is they love to bundle. They love to get your car insurance and your home insurance. And if you only have $1,000 to $5,000, maybe you don't want to just get a bunch of traffic from 18 to 24-year-olds who are looking probably for the cheapest auto quote out there. Maybe you want to get the 40, 50-year-olds with some assets to protect who buy all this additional insurance on the car so they can't get, or if they do get sued, they have protection, have bigger homes, and have homes in general. So you may want to have a discussion about removing 18 to 24-year-olds. That's a discussion to have. And then the other thing is the new audience overlay, Chris. We talked about this in the last episode. I'm pretty sure there's an in-market audience for different types of insurance. And what you can do is you can observe how that in-market traffic performs when they search for your keywords differently, how they perform differently than people who Google does not think are in that audience yet. So I would have an audience overlay on there if they have in-market for insurance, any of those audiences. And Chris, the last thing is advanced bid adjustment, the new interface. I've seen that can help you get more calls, the call bid adjustment. But that's pretty much it for settings. Now, as we get into keywords, Chris, one thing I'm thinking is we have home insurance and we have auto insurance. What are you doing with that difference? I know you're a one woman man and you're a one campaign man. You like to keep it simple. Okay. You like to just have one campaign if possible. You're also a one podcast partner man.
That's true.
I appreciate that too.
Yeah. I don't go on other shows and act as a guest. I don't know who would do that without taking me. I mean, I know that's the kind of relationship we have, that we wouldn't do things like that. So,
well,
it's good.
Thanks for bringing that up, Chris. If you want me to mention it, I was on a podcast called
Don't
The Pivot.
You dare. No.
With my friend Justin. And if you guys want to look for that on the podcast players, it was called The Pivot. And it was an interesting interview. You see a different side of Jason, the side where you can see both sides, because there's not this muscle bound CrossFit freak.
Oh, so interesting. I bet it was great. I bet you guys had an awesome dynamic, and like everybody was just, oh, you guys are so funny. Yeah, I mean, that's fine. Maybe he can cook your dinner tonight.
Mm. Okay, so Chris, again, I'm glad you're just getting it out of your system on these Mondays. So Chris, what are you going to do? My bias would be I would get all the settings in one campaign, and then copy and paste the campaign.
Yeah.
And name one home, name one auto. Are you so such a fundamentalist about one campaign that right, you'll
yeah. watch.
I'm going to paint you into a corner you don't exist in. So, Chris, if you were advertising for an injury lawyer and a divorce lawyer and a criminal lawyer, and they advertise in different states, would you throw it all in one campaign?
Well,
Chris,
of course.
Are you
not.
The kind of AdWords of manager that has all your clients in one account, or do you actually have an MCC?
I put everybody on the same. I have a credit card bill that just like is a.
You know
huge...
you've seen that. You know you've seen that.
Yes, I have. Yeah, I have. Yeah, just throw
that
everything.
That is the absolute
same
worst.
Credit card and just yeah, it's a disaster. But okay, to get back to what you're saying, well, of course, if the geographic targeting is different, but that's not the case in this. I wouldn't really mess with different campaigns unless I was specifically told that.
Of course you wouldn't.
Because here's the thing. If they consider auto insurance and home insurance to be of equal value, then I don't really care which one spends more. You know, I see no difference in monitoring the budget or geographic targeting for those. But if they draw a line and say, we have home and we have auto, and I'd like to spend 75% auto and 25% home. Bam. Immediately means different campaigns. So that's the difference there. Yeah. I think the structure there is different based on priority. But
Chris, that's why I love doing this podcast and learning about your management style because, and I'm the exact same way. I was joking with you, but I'm the exact same way. We both like to keep things as simple as possible. And we are extremely open to getting as complex as you want to get. But there's got to be a reason.
There's got to be a reason. Yeah, exactly.
And there's so many people out there that get complex for no reason, especially early on. So I think that's a great point, Molly. When you're listening to this out there, you can put both of these different types of insurances you're advertising for in one campaign as long as you don't have any issue with different locations, as long as you don't have to split the budget up in a certain way, at least at the beginning, or different schedules. So unless you don't have a reason to, you don't have to split them into two campaigns. So Chris, as we start talking about our keywords here, last episode, of course, I know what you're going to say because this really stuck out to me. I was getting very, very fancy with the keywords, covering all these different types of things. And I think you kind of slapped me and spanked me, frankly,
wow,
and put me in my place. And you just kind of, you hammered home the point of like, why are you making it more complex when you know what the goal is? You know, this isn't some national advertiser trying to get through a $25,000 budget. It's a small town agent. They're a little hesitant about AdWords or Google Ads. They don't want to blow through their budget. They really want to get something for their budget and get new clients in the door. Geo keywords, Chris, why don't you talk about that?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that really sells clients and they get so happy is if they can jump on Google just about any time of day and search that one keyword that's important to them, not their stupid brand name. No, talk about, you know, slapping people. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about like if they search City A car insurance. So, you know, some obscure city name that not Detroit, not where are we doing this? Minneapolis, not Minneapolis car insurance, but like a suburb of Minneapolis, then car insurance. This is a great way to subcategorize your traffic quality and immediately make it valuable to someone that, you know, is in that area and to make sure the client can see it. So I'm talking more, you know, I'm talking to Molly because I know she manages, you know, accounts for these clients. So I'm speaking about clients in that language. But, you know, if this is your account, this is the kind of thing that you can make sure that you're going to show up more because the volume of traffic for Minneapolis and then the suburb traffic is going to be much less. So suburb keywords, small city keywords, this is going to help you diversify and control your spend much better. So I'm going to put city plus car plus insurance. And then other keywords I might try agent or agency. Other keywords I might try near or local might work. Things I would avoid when getting into things like that is top and best and highest rated and things like that. I would avoid these research type of terms. Sure, they might be valuable, but this is kind of a one-off kind of thing. I would just avoid them completely. Avoid that kind of stuff. Go for stuff that seems more relevant to the point. Why are you searching for the best? You know, you just need to find one. I mean, you don't need the best. They're all going to be offering the same thing, cheapest, things like that. Those are things you might want to avoid. So this is the idea that I would go with. I think this is going to keep your budget much lower. It's going to keep your spend at a manageable level, and your CPC hopefully will be a little bit better. And Jason, when it comes to that, it's going to make the structure of your campaign much easier. You're going to have core terms like car insurance. You're going to have core terms like home insurance, and then you're going to have geographic terms, and then you might have another set of category keywords that are agent, agencies, quotes, prices, things like that. You know, so those, I think those four or five categories would basically, you know, cover a $3,000, $2,000 a month campaign for a suburb very easily and get great traffic.
Great traffic. And yeah, so when we talk about suburb keywords, we're talking about, like, let's just call it suburb one. It would be a keyword like car insurance, suburb one, car insurance, suburb two, auto insurance, suburb one, auto insurance, suburb two. And Chris, depending on the location, like if it was, if you were just advertising that suburb or a smaller radius and not the whole area, the whole region, I would also be open to Minneapolis plus car insurance, plus auto insurance, plus home insurance, because if someone's in that area, I at least want to see it, especially if I'm struggling for volume early on. But yeah, any kind of home insurance agent or agency, those would be good because you know they're looking for someone to do business with near me, auto insurance near me, and then those geo keywords, just heavy on geo keywords. I think the main point with insurance, Chris, is you just really, through locking down your keywords with modifiers and suburb kind of words with them and agent words with them and near me, and then also through negative keywords, you really just want to avoid informational searches. Mm. Insurance is going to be a topic. There's going to be so many informational searches where people are not looking for an agent, and you don't want to waste your money on it. So I would not start out with car insurance phrase match. I would not start out with home insurance phrase match. Broad modified, I would not start out with car insurance. Mm. Broad modified, I would not start out with home insurance. And definitely not broad to start out with on those terms, because you're just going to be all over the board and you're going to get so many searches like home insurance, farmer's phone number.
Yep.
Phone or number, car insurance, address. AAA phone number. And that person already has a company. So lock it down with geo, lock it down with near me, lock it down with agent, agency, quotes, and see how that goes. I think that's a good starting place.
I would even go so far as to say that you should not be running car insurance, home insurance, insurance agency without what you said right there. The keyword was modifier. The modifier should be something. It should be core term plus modifier. So an example of that would be car insurance is the core term. Modifier is the geo. So suburb A. Core keyword is home insurance. Modifier is quote or local agency or near me. You should never just do the core term by itself because it's going to be too expensive, too much volume, too much competition, and in reality, there's nothing unique about that search. How do you write an ad that appeals to someone that just types car insurance? You have no way to know what's important to that person, but if they say a geographic term, bam, you've got them on something. If they talk about quotes, bam, you've got them on something. Fill out a quote, you know, get a quote right now. I mean, this is the kind of thing that a new home buyer would need. You know, get a couple of quotes, they're done. This is the kind of stuff that's going to make a huge difference in the interaction level of your ad copy and your quality of traffic and stuff like that.
Yeah, Chris, maybe the most open I would go is broad match modifier for car insurance and then the suburb. I would put the modifier on insurance. I would put the modifier on the suburb. And if I wanted to go wide, I would not do this at the beginning, but my first step to getting more traffic would be to leave the modifier off of the word car and just see what comes in where insurance. I'm forcing insurance, I'm forcing the suburb, and then car could be auto, it could be truck, it could be whatever.
Yeah.
But that would be my first move if I needed more volume. But really, through broad match modifiers, this campaign build doesn't have to take that long, and you can still get as much of the quality traffic you want to get through broad match modifiers. They're really a great fit for this kind of thing. Chris, the final thing about keywords, I would just say if the insurance agent does any kind of like smaller parts of insurance that a lot of people would not be making specific ads for, that would be a great place to spend some budget. So renter's insurance, motorcycle insurance, just that kind of stuff, Chris. I think that's a good way to get an extra 10% of really, really quality traffic where the other guys are not going to be making ads that custom to it.
Yeah, definitely. Good point there. Yeah, that's going to be a small, you know, those little couple of quote leads here and there could really help the overall bottom line, the value of the campaign. Yeah, good call there. One thing we talk about a lot, and just briefly throw this in, it's not going to make a huge difference in your campaign. It's not going to be like a, you know, win or fail type of thing. But if you do a suburb, add your major metro area in as a separate campaign. So go back and listen to our Sweetums Dental, where we talk about this. We talk about more in detail, but basically what you do is you create a separate campaign that targets the metro area, so Minneapolis. This does not target the suburb that you're going after. It's just the core zip codes right in Minneapolis where you're going to get, you know, several millions of people, and then do the keywords with car insurance plus the suburb. Home insurance plus a suburb. So this is going to grab the people that work in that area, or excuse me, that work in downtown, but live back in that suburb. They're going to be the ones that are doing the searches from work, in traffic, from their phone, stuff like that. This is the stuff you can grab those people. It might spend 10%, 15% of your traffic, but these are very relevant, and they could be easily lost among the other millions of searches that, you know, other campaigns would be doing that would just be targeting the word Minneapolis. So good stuff there. That, for more detail on how we did that with the old one, go back to November 7, 2017. Something like that is when we did the old one. We talk about more in detail. All right, Jason, so we're moving on to negative keywords, ads, ad extensions, and we were just about to fill this thing up.
Yeah, and negative keywords, ads, ad extensions, Chris, they all kind of write themselves. There's tons of great ad extensions. They're not that complicated. You all know them that could go good with this campaign. Maybe the one that people might not think to use is price, the price extension, and you can say there's some kind of feature in there like from, the word from, so you can have from and then a low number because technically you start at that number for your insurance, so you can have an attractive number in there. Ads, they kind of write themselves. Just look at the content on the website, give a good call to action, call in, get a quote, whatever. And the negative keywords, you're not going to have to spend too much time on that if you do what we said with the geo keywords and locking them down in the right way. Definitely check your search terms after the first day, after the first week, but you probably won't run into too many bad search terms if you use the kind of keywords we talked about earlier. Now, Chris, what I want to close on here is a question I have for you, because I could see this coming up with a lot of insurance websites, and I get different answers from different people in the Google Ads area that I talk to. So if you have a great homepage, right, a great homepage, big phone number, big call to action, big lead form, but someone searches for auto insurance with that suburb, and this insurance agent has an auto insurance sub-service page. So the homepage says that suburb, and then it says home and auto insurance. We do both. Call now, get a quote. We've been here for 25 years, whatever. Great homepage, big call to action, big phone number, lead form, very trackable. But they have a service page that's specifically dedicated to auto insurance. Even though it's mentioned on the homepage along with home and everything else I do, they have a sub-service page. But on the sub-service page, it looks a little bit more like an article. It looks a little bit more bloggish. There's not a huge lead form. There's not a big phone number. Here's the downsides and upsides. If you send people to the homepage, you're going to probably get a better conversion rate because there's more. It's easier to convert. But if you send people to the sub-service page, you might get a better quality score because the page is just perfect for those kind of keywords. My bias is to send people to the homepage and get those damn conversions.
Yeah.
I know people out there that get hung up about the content on the page and like everything to match one for one. Now, if it comes to motorcycle or something very specific like that, sure, throw some motorcycle traffic to the motorcycle page and renters to the renter page. But I always have faith in people, Chris, and the search population out there. If they do home and auto insurance searches and the homepage is about home and auto, they don't need to be on just the auto page. But Chris, I know you're probably going to side with me here. Send them to the homepage where you think you're going to get a higher conversion rate. But don't you see people running into that issue?
Yeah.
Because it is kind of hard to choose.
Yeah, I see people get hung up a lot on you know, where should I send people? Is this the right place or is this the other place? I think you're exactly right. What people are really debating is they're debating on, should I side with Google bots or should I side with, you know, the human brain? That's the decision you're actually trying to make. I'm going to make it easy for you. Forget the Google bots. Go with the human brain. I would always err towards the more valuable content or the more likely conversion page, something that appeals to someone, phone number on the page, a form on the page, you know, colorful buttons, as opposed to something that is, you know, SEO perfected, but it's very boring and there's not a form that's, you know, as appealing, or the form is a lot longer and there's no real content on the page. When it comes down to it, I've said it before, I've had plenty of campaigns that Google hates and gives us low quality scores and makes us pay out the butt for these bids, but they keep a business floating. And my job is not to keep Google's bots happy with the quality score. My job is to bring in leads, and that should always be your number one choice when choosing a landing page.
Couldn't have said it better myself. So, Chris, that's our episode. That is our deep dive on home and auto. I hope that the listeners out there are a little bit surprised at how simple it was.
Wait.
But also,
yes. I'm going to say one thing. We didn't mention this. You talked about ad extensions, local extension. Link your local extension with your AdWords. I think that's super important if we're doing a suburb keyword, because it's going to show your address. It's going to show your phone number. It's going to show that even on the maps. People do maps and stuff like that, map searches. So just one extra little thing that could make a big difference.
This is where you're going to just kind of have to take it on the chin as an AdWords manager. Your conversion rate will go down.
That's true.
If you use the location extension, and your little report each month won't be as good looking to the client, because we just kind of lose conversion data when the Google My Business account is linked to AdWords, and then people click to that profile page, they click on the map, and they call the number in the map, and it's not AdWords tracking number on the website. We lose some conversions, but that's the situation where you need to have that conversation with the client and be like, look, I know I'm making things tougher on myself. I know my reports aren't going to look as good, but I truly am looking out for your best interest when it comes to all things Google Ads, and I know this can help you. So please don't crush me when we have a lower conversion rate this month and we turn this on. Understand we are getting some action. And by the way, if we segment out that traffic, I'm able to show you how many people clicked on get location details, how many people clicked on directions, how many people clicked on, you know, whatever. It gives you some data. So
yeah, good point. Good point. Anyway, I interrupted you. Please grace us with your beautiful outro, and then we will leave everyone alone.
Yeah, Chris, I was just saying that going through this twice now with you, this episode, it's like, as we're talking, I just see myself setting up this campaign in, I don't know, 14 and a half minutes. Like,
don't do that. You have setup fees, Jason. Don't give numbers. You never give numbers.
Oh, I know. I don't care. I'm so past the hustle, like, whatever.
We're on a different level here.
We give out the business secrets. We talk about all our little tricks. So
that's true.
Chris, and the thing is, I don't talk about hourly rates. I personally don't. I talk about getting S done for a certain fixed price and people are happy with it. But so honestly, Chris, I could set this up drunk in 14 and a half minutes and it would be better than anybody on the planet.
Which is amazing because Jason doesn't drink. So that's like, you know, that would be really rare.
Yeah. Now, Chris, I guess you owe me for me talking about your wife earlier in this episode. But you know what, Chris? I was going to be a gentleman, and I was going to tell our sound engineer to edit that out because it just did not sound the way I wanted it to sound. It sounded a little harsher, a little truer.
No, it's only because you can hear yourself in the headphones. That's what it is. You can hear yourself talking about my wife, and you're embarrassed for yourself.
Honestly, I don't know what you're talking about because I am cutting it out. And everyone's going to think you're weird and just overly defensive and overly jealous and you're that guy.
It's going to sound worse if you cut it out because people are like, I wonder what he said. Wow, Jason's a real jerk.
So. I think everyone can kind of just imagine what I said, Chris. It doesn't take too much to figure out. So, Chris, put it this way, dude. We come on here with the live stream. I know it's Thursday. I know people are around usually. But does she have to show me her foot on the video?
That's true. She did do that.
Yeah. You're throwing it in my face here, Chris. Yeah. No, just kidding. But Chris, honestly, I think people just hearing us talk about this build, it just at least to me, it does not sound that complex.
No.
But I think that's the beauty of the way you and I manage not every campaign, not every account, right. but some accounts. Some right. accounts, it's just really about getting in front of a handful or a kind of search and getting clicks. And these are the kind of accounts, Chris, where a 25% conversion rate doesn't shock me. A 30%, I mean, I know we don't get that on every account, but we're not going to be getting a 3% conversion rate from this kind of traffic. Yeah. Like, this stuff really works.
Yeah, this is just a request for a quote. This is like a free consultation. You know, this is the kind of thing that you should be getting higher conversion rates. Yeah, I totally agree. So it's not rocket science, but I don't want to belittle that. You know, it's not like it's super simple. You know, you do have to get it right. And the secret to getting it right is exactly what Jason and I talked about. It is getting the right traffic and make sure you dissect out the crap and the research, and you get what you need. So Jason, is that it? Have we hit it? Hit it?
We have, and we were going to go short, but you know what? We went long again. I don't know. It's just something about when we get in the lab together, just good things happen, Chris. So everybody, please send some love to our sponsor, Directive Consulting. We appreciate that. Please review us on iTunes. Chris and I still go through all those reviews and read them. And Chris, you're on camera now. Oh. I love the control here. we appreciate the reviews, and we appreciate you guys sharing the show. And we see the numbers. It grows. We've been at it a while, Chris. We're coming up on year 3 at some point.
Yeah.
But it's paying off. We appreciate you guys listening and sharing. And we have the side piece, PPC questions and answers. So if you guys have a specific question you want us to answer, PaidSearchPodcast.com, contact page, and we will consider it for the PPC questions and answers. So, Chris, thanks for being here. Thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks for giving us a little bit of slack with the late episode, but we wanted to get the audio right. And we will be back next time on the Page Search Pirates. Arr!
Today's growth story revolves around search engine marketing. Delphix, a big data platform, had hired an agency to manage their Google ads a few years ago, but they weren't seeing the results they wanted to see. Being such a technical B2B solution, they set out to find a team that could take on their challenge. After countless proposals, they found the perfect fit: Directive Consulting, the B2B search marketing agency. In just 1 week after launching Directive's campaigns, Delphix saw their lead volume double and their cost per lead drop by 60%. I have a hunch that Directive can get these kind of results for you too. So head over to directiveconsulting.com and request a totally free custom proposal. That's directiveconsulting.com.